All right, it's the Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast. I am excited about this one. I'm going to give you a little inside scoop here. I usually don't like to share this sort of inside scoop, okay? But I got Brandon Marshall, okay? The New York Giants' Brandon Marshall, okay? Brandon Marshall was picked up by the New York Giants, and I'm going to talk to him on the I Am Rapoport Stereo Podcast. I am so excited about B. Marshall coming to the Giants. Don't sleep on B. Marshall. Yes, I know, okay? He's never made a playoff game. Yes, I know that. I understand that. But this is a team sport. Okay, Brandon Marshall is the first to have a 1,000-yard season with four different teams: Denver, Miami, Chicago, and the Jets. Okay, he did it with the New York Jets, which proves he could get 1,000 yards with my cousin's sister's brother, who's got a missing elbow. He could get 1,000 yards. If he's throwing him the ball, B. Marshall could get 1,000 yards. He's got the most seasons with 100-plus yard receptions, most receptions in an NFL game, 21, and the third most receptions in an NFL game, 18. Okay, B. Marshall is a New York Giant. Now listen, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? I supported him, okay? I'm not one of these crazy New Yorkers who can't divide church and state. I want all New York teams to do well, okay? But I bleed blue and red, okay? I bleed Giants blue, big blue, baby, okay? Going all the way back to my man LT, okay? And before that, when we dropped the ball in the end zone, all of it. My father's a Giants fan. I'm a Giants fan. Lawrence Taylor is the greatest football player ever. You say, oh, no, he's not. I say, you tell me another guy who won MVP on crack. Okay? We've documented that. Anyway, Brandon Marshall, the interview was done on the side of the road. Okay, I'm in Los Angeles, the Vroom Tomb. If you never listened to the Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast before, the Vroom Tomb is my car. This is a one-stop shop. Okay, we do interviews everywhere and anywhere. We've done them on the train. I've done them at the vet office. And today I'm doing Brandon Marshall, New York Giant Brandon Marshall. I pulled over my car on the 405. That's a fact, okay, to talk to B. Marshall. I told him, I said, listen, B. Marshall, whenever you're ready. He calls me, I'm on the 405. I pull on the side of the road, and now we got 20-something minutes with Brandon Marshall, New York's own, New York Giants' own, potentially the king of New York, Brandon Marshall of the New York Giants. Let's go. I Am Rapoport Stereo Podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress. Casper, the award-winning, obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Casper is made in the United States. You can try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Listen to me. We're not selling mattresses just to sell mattresses. I sleep on a Casper mattress every single night. Great pricing and a great product. It's risk-free, okay? If you don't like it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. There's over 20,000 reviews online with an average of 4.8 stars. Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. I can say for myself, it's Michael Rapoport, the Gringo Mandingo's most popular, favorite, and only mattress. Go to www.casper.com/Rapoport. Use the promo code Rapoport. Save $50 towards any mattress purchase. They have sheets. They have pillows. And I said it once. I'll say it again. They have doggy beds. They have doggy mattresses at Casper. Go to www.casper.com/Rapoport.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2017.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
What are the plans for Microsoft? We're going to see more new titles from Sony PlayStation. And how about Nintendo? Interviews, roundtable discussion, previews, hand-on impressions, and more.
E3 2017 coverage on Gamertag Radio.
June 11th through the 15th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
What's up, Michael?
How are you, my man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You're on the I Am Rapoport Stereo Podcast, the newest New York Giant. Now, I have a confession to make before we get into this. Listen, I'm not one of these crazy New York fans who can't divide church and state. I support the Jets. I've been Big Blue my whole life. I was so happy that you came to New York. So happy to support the Jets, and I'll continue to support the Jets, but I'm Big Blue. How do you feel being the newest New York Giant?
Oh, so we're just jumping right into it, huh?
I never want to keep you long, man, because I know you're like a multitasking millionaire.
Yeah.
and as yes, you should be, so I'm always conscious of your time, my man.
No, everything is good, man. I'm so excited. Obviously, it sucks when you leave a great situation behind, great people. But I think for what I'm trying to accomplish now, it was the best thing for me in my football career.
Well, you're being very generous by saying great situation. You were out there playing. You were playing hurt last year. As far as I'm concerned, they did not just the team wrong, the offense wrong. They did the city wrong. You know, I know you were down with Fitz and you supported Fitz as you should be, and as you should have. But I just felt like it wasn't fair to anybody. But moving forward, you're a New York Giant. You're with a receiving core, particularly Odell, that's sort of beyond sports. It's like a pop culture wide receiving core. You're a veteran. You also came into the league at a time where you've done like a complete 180 from the young Brandon Marshall to who you are today. How are you going to fit in with these young guys that are almost like a generation behind you? You know what I mean? It's crazy. It must feel weird, but you know, you're getting up there in age. You look fantastic, but you're getting up there in age. How are you going to fit in with these dudes?
I'm not. it's one of those things, you know, when those guys are so young and they're into different music, different things. So when it comes to the cultural part of it, I just sit back and laugh, man, because half of these songs they listen to, I have no clue. But when it comes to the football side, I think it's complimentary football. You know, it's being able to take pressure off of those guys, specifically Odell. You know, he sees a lot of double teams, a lot of role coverage, the things that I've seen, you know, my entire career. So, you know, defense is going to have to pick their poison. And I think it's going to be a really special year.
You know, I do too. And defenses are going to have to pick their poison. You know, last year was a mess up for the Jets, but the year before, you were one of the best, in the league. You put up so many numbers. You know, still under duress. You know, with the Jets offense and the Jets quarterback controversy, and you're able to avoid any major injuries lately. So I think that, you know, the receiving core with you and Odell and Shep, this is like top 1, 2, 3 receiving core. What are you going to do now? How do you fit into you've made so many adjustments to going from team to team, coach to coach, quarterback to quarterback. How do you fit in now, and how do you start planning ahead to play with McAdoo, and you got a real quarterback who's done it on the big stage? How do you get in, like, your head ready for that, you know, going forward?
I think it's easy. Football is simple. We just make it complicated and hard. You know, for me, I'm a wide receiver. I see ball, I catch ball. You know, and when it comes to the offense, you have to have, obviously, the smarts to be able to pick up the offense and be able to adapt to, you know, changes within practice or in games. But at the end of the day, you know, if they tell me I have to run a 12-yard comeback, then I have to run a 12-yard comeback. In offense, it's about precision and execution. So for me, I've always done a great job of understanding what's been asked of me and doing my best to execute it. I'm excited about it because you got, like you said, you got a quarterback, Eli Manning, who's done it on the biggest stage, and he's super talented. But I think the thing that goes unnoticed is his work in the classroom. This guy, from what I'm hearing, is relentless. So I'm excited because I know that's where you win. You know, whether it's sport or life, that's where you win, in between your ears. So we're already off to a great start.
Yeah, I mean, yo, Eli, you know, people could, you know, pick and, you know, and criticize this. Aside from winning, you know, two Super Bowls, the dude doesn't sit out games. I have him on my all goon squad, B. Marshall. He's one of my sleeper picks on my all goon squad, just on the fact that, you know, the amount of games he's played, and obviously God is the only one who control the injuries, but I know, like the rest of you guys, Eli has played through pain, and my question in far as goon is this. You, like I said earlier, you have turned your persona around, and in what I truly believe your personal life around. When you came into the league, you were the guy that was looked at like the Odell. You were the guy that was looked at as the head case. You were the guy that was looked at as, you know, he's not good for a team. He's not a team player. And my question for you is, and I really admire this about you sincerely. What did you do to turn it around, and how do you continue to turn it on and off? Because off the field, you've moved forward. You're doing such a good job with the broadcasting. You're doing such a good job with all the mental health issues that you're dealing with. But when you're on the field, how do you continue to click that goon on? You got these little punk defensive backs, these young guns coming at you, and you push them off you like flies. So how do you, you know, sort of separate Brandon Marshall, the grown man now, from Brandon Marshall, the football player who's got to get out there and kick ass?
Man, it's really hard. That's a difficult thing to do because I'm wired that way. And, there's two sides of it. One, I actually sat down for 3 months in an outpatient program, and I had to learn the tools and skills that I needed to be able to, what professionals say, self-regulate my emotions, right? And that's what you see with a lot of younger professional athletes, where, you know, there's a thin line between playing with emotion and passion and then crossing that line where it hurts you and it hurts your team. But I also know players who are wired that way, that's when they really at their best, when they're really close to losing control. And for me, one, I had to sit down, and that's when I learned a lot of those things. But then I started dibbling and dabbing into sports science and mental fitness, you know, and that's where I learned that, you know, I'm at my best when I'm at my, and I'm in the present moment where I'm in control of my emotions. So I'm not a big trash talker. Once the whistle blows, I'm really not a trash talker. I really just try to stay focused and I stay present and I focus on what I'm supposed to do. And then I have a good time after the game. So, you know, I think it's a journey for everyone, but, you know, I wish more athletes understood that the game is won in between their ears, and we can do all of that dancing, hollering, screaming, yelling, celebrating, whatever. But, you know, we got to stay focused if we're trying to reach the ultimate goal. And I think that's something that we all struggle with at times.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, you know, in life too. I mean, for me personally, I'm on the fringe of every day, and just terms of my mouth and behavior and all that stuff. And that's one of the things I truly respect and I admire about the way you, forget your career, just the course of your life, just from what I know, because, you know, like, I'm a fan and I really respect it. How do you sort of, now that you're a vet, you're an older dude, and you have this personality with Odell, and I know you've been very supportive before you came to the Giants, you know, on inside the NFL, you've always been supportive of him, you know, throughout the, you know, the fights with the field goal post and all the other stuff, you've always remained supportive of him. Do you say to him, "Yo, Odell, chill"? Like, for even not even just Odell, like these young guys when they're bugging out. Are you a type of person when you only speak when spoken to, or you might go over and be like, "Yo, cool out, man. You're fighting with a field goal net. Why are you at a boat on or off day?" Like, or are you just kind of like let these guys figure it out on their own?
Well, I'm in a different position now. You know, I'm walking into their locker room, so, you know, when you're walking into another man's locker room, you got to tread lightly. You know, a lot of guys walk in someone's locker room and think, "Oh, I've been playing the league longer than you have, and I've had a lot of success. You need to listen to me," and that's the wrong way to do it. I think it just happens organically, and I also think that when you look at this situation, I think we'll learn from each other, and I think that's where great teams are, is where, you know, you can lean on each other in the good and the bad times. You can hold each other accountable. So, I know this is a great team, so I know it will happen organically. I know there'll be times where Odell reel me in, or if I have, you know, maybe reel him in. So, you know, that's just sports.
Well, I think you guys are in a good place, and I think he should be so happy to have you as a teammate. And obviously, I know you're in a situation now where I want you to be able to not just taste the playoffs, you know, I want you to go far in the playoffs. And the Giants last year, you know, the defense was so solid, and I hopefully they'll get a running back, because I feel like, you know, offensively, you know, the wide receiving corps, it's going to be exciting. They're going to be throwing the ball around. What are you doing in the offseason? And what's your plans for the future? Because I see you doing your version, not following his footsteps, but I truly see you, you know, doing the Michael Strahan playbook. So what are you doing in the offseason, and what do you got lined up as far as, you know, in the inside of the NFL of it all? And also, I could see you doing stuff that doesn't have anything to do with football. What are your hopes and dreams with broadcasting?
Well, first, in the offseason, when I'm just training, I'm not really doing anything outside of that besides, you know, hanging with my family every single day, every minute I can get. But my gym is right around the corner. We just finished up with 20 or so combine guys. So those guys getting ready for the NFL. And that's what I really do every offseason. When you talk about, you know, 3, 5, 10 year plan, you know, I love what Michael Strahan has done. He's really created a blueprint for all of us athletes to follow. And I'm not really talking about media and broadcasting. It's just being able to build something that lasts longer than the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he built relationships and network while he was in the game, and took advantage of his market. And now we're seeing the benefits of that. So for me, you know, when I can, I want to continue to get reps and learn. Sometimes we think that, you know, I'm in the NFL. I played at a high level. So someone's going to give me a job, and I know ball, and it's going to be easy for me to go up there and talk. But there's so much more to it. The guys who last is the guys who take that same work ethic that they had in the weight room and on the field, and they do it in the boardroom or in the production meetings and the prep work before they even go on air. So, you know, there's a lot for me to learn still. I see myself doing television, being on television when I'm done in some capacity. I really like to be like my goal, like I want to be like a Gumball. You know, like mm-hmm. I want to get into like investigative reporting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go deeper. And there might be even some crossover stuff that I dab into as well.
What do you mean crossover? Like pop culture stuff?
No, I'm not really a pop culture guy. More of like news.
Right.
I'm really serious. You know, so I want to talk about stuff that really matters. You know, so I want to talk about what's going on in our world, in our country. You know, we have a few civil rights movement right now. You know, you have the, you know, Black Lives Matter, and, you know, all this tension when it comes to race. You know, you have the civil rights movement in the mental health community.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that, you know, are really close to my heart. And I just want to, you know, make sure that we continue to progress and move things forward in our world.
The Black Lives Matter, and obviously the Kaepernick of it all last season was the focal point. And, you know, and I know you've been supportive of him, and, you know, you've done your stuff on your own as far as your, you know, public protests and being outspoken. How hard is it to dance between, you know, doing stuff for the media, being a professional athlete, being a black man, and everybody sort of, you know, wanting to come at you, you know, to support this, not step over the line, not offend anybody? Like, how conscious of you are you that with the Twitter of it all, the Instagram of it all, you got a mouth, you like to speak. How conscious of all that are you, you know, when you are speaking?
Very, very. And the reason why is because I think we should all be intentional and strategic, because what we say has a lot of power. There's death and life in our words. And when we stand up for something, we got to make sure that what we say heals and pushes the cause forward, and not destroy and take us a few steps back. You know, sometimes we have people, you know, that just jumps into a conversation and have no clue what they're talking about, or they're really passionate about it, but they're not educated about it. So, you know, it's easy for me to do the things and that are as close to my heart and jump into fights and movements that, you know, that I believe is why I'm here. And, you know, I just stick to who I am and I just work from there. You know, I truly believe my purpose on earth is to help bridge the gap in the mental health community. You know, my fight, we all got our own fights and own battles when we talk about things outside of, you know, our hearts and our home. And there's some people who fight for cancer, some people who fight for human trafficking, some people fight for all sorts of things. For me, it's mental health. And I think, you know, if we all stick to those things that are really close to our heart, then we'll see a healthier world. You know, we don't have to take on all. If we stretch ourselves thin, then, you know, we're really not getting anything done.
Yeah, well, I think it's dope. I really, really, truly admire, you know, what you're doing with that. And you know, I know you're going to continue doing it. And I know, like, you're just going to make an impact on it because you're not the quote-unquote face, the average face, the normal face that you would associate with mental health. And I think it's just going to be inspiring and helpful. Now, I got to ask you, and you let me know if I need to smooth this over, because you're in New York, all right? You got this guy, Antonio Brown. He's in your old city. You guys made a bet. I think the bet was who's going to have the most yards last year. Now, he should be ashamed of himself knowing that under the quarterback duress that you were. Now, he had a very, very good year. You didn't have a terrible year, but he won the bet. I guess the bet was over a car, a Ferrari, or Mercedes. These cars are something I don't understand. I drive a shitbox, B. Marshall. How do we smooth this bet out? Where are we at with this bet? Who won the bet? Did you give the car up? Do I got to smack this guy around? Just let me know right now.
Antonio, he's just trying to keep the spotlight on him through these, through free agency and the draft and combine. Like, everyone talking about everyone else, you know, like they're not talking about live streaming Antonio Brown in the locker room anymore and his big contract. Like, things move fast in the media world, and he's trying to keep himself, you know, in the news cycle through this offseason, through this downtime. Like, that's all he's trying to do. We already talked this over. Like, Antonio, and this is why he's so awesome, he gave me the opportunity to donate the money to Project 375. So he did that, and I took that. I took him up on it. I said, thank you for that. You know, that's more important than us changing cars, which, you know, I'm a man of my word, and I always keep my face clean. So if that's what he wanted, that's what he did. But without me even asking him, he said, you know, bro, you can donate to Project 375. And I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And I did that. So this is the second or third time that he said, you know, brought up this Porsche thing after we already pretty much shook hands on what we're going to do. So I don't know why he continues to bring it up, but I know it's all in fun. But I am getting a little annoyed by it a little bit, and that's my little brother.
Yeah, we gotta have him come meet us in Brooklyn. Maybe we have a little sit down under the bridge. I'll talk to him because you're a New Yorker now. Okay, you are part of New York. The King of New York crown is up for grabs. New York loves you. So if you need anybody to lean on, this guy, it's a short trip to Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Like, we'll take, you just let me, I'm just saying, I'm not threatening anybody, but we'll have a little conversation with him. We could talk about his haircut. We could talk about, you know, like, just fixing his whole program. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, he's great, man. But again, he's just trying to, you know, make some headlines right now.
Now, this is my final question. I'm gonna let you go because I know you're a busy dude. I know you're a family dude, and I know you're staying in shape. And there's a lot of moving parts in the Brandon Marshall world. You're posting a lot of videos of you working out. What is your workout in the off season? You know, to stay in shape, keep your body healthy. You're not a spring chicken anymore. Has it changed from when you were younger? And how much working out do you do in the off season to get ready for the training camp. What is that schedule like? Like, your daily basis from now until training camp is what? Just give me a roundabout thing and tell me, are you into yoga, Tai Chi? What are we doing?
Well, I don't have enough time to really go to dive deep into everything that I do in, on this topic. But, you know, I work out pretty much, well, I'll put it this way. The way I approach it is, you know, like my body is what I do. My body is my corporation. Mm. And, you know, when there is no real off season, like a lot of times, you know, players and professional athletes, you know, when they see off season, they see time off. You know, our careers are really unique and a little, and at times unorthodox. But I put myself in the same category as someone working on Wall Street, you know, working in corporate America, and it's like 9 to 5, right? That's traditional 9 to 5. So whether I'm in season or out of season, I'm always on that 9 to 5 schedule. Like, I'll take a couple weeks off, and then once I get back into it, I'm up early in the morning, obviously, and in the morning is when I get my workouts in, and then after that, I'm doing whatever I can, whether it's meeting with chiropractors, dry needling specialists, ART gurus, MAT gurus, massage therapists, doing anything I can, mobilization therapy, anything I can to keep my body where it needs to be so I can continue to play at a high level. Nutrition is big. That's everything. I mean, that's 70% of the battle. If you're killing it in your workouts and you're not eating right, then you're wasting your time. And, you know, and also sleep. Sleep is important. Mm. There's studies that show that if you get 8 hours consistently, it's almost like taking steroids. So, you know, I'm really big into this, and it's helped me my entire career. That's why I'm going on year 12 and been able to play at a high level and do some special things.
When you say the nutrition, I'm sure that I can figure out what you do eat. What are the things that you and all you've learned in the studying with the nutritionists and the high-end stuff that you do with the food, what are the things that you don't eat? What are the things that you stay away from? And what's the one thing that you don't eat that you wish you could eat every single day and that when you're retired, you're going to be stuffing your face with? Is it cupcakes, chocolate chip cookies, Ben and Jerry's? Like, what are the things you have to stay away from?
Well, one of the things that we need to realize is every time we put something, a piece of food or some type of liquid in our mouth, our body has a chemical reaction to it. And it's different for everyone. Like, you know, the biggest battle that we have as athletes and especially and people is the fight against inflammation. In inflammation, there's a lot of disease, there's a lot of sickness. And for athletes, it destroys us. We talk about get old quick. That's what happens, guys. Inflammation just takes over their body. So for me, you know, I'm on a really special diet. When I'm really crushing it, I'm on my diet consists of the foods that work well with my system. There, you know, I could eat maybe 40 ounces of beef, and I won't go up on the scale, and I'm perfectly fine. But if I eat maybe 2 ounces of chicken, and if my body is allergic to that, I'll go up on the scale a pound, and that's a pound of inflammation, you know. And so, you know, I've been on this diet for years now, and it's really worked for me.
Listen, I appreciate the information. I admire the consistency, Brandon. I'm about to get a double cheeseburger and some fries, okay? And I'm going to jump on the scale, and next time we talk, I'm going to tell you what kind of inflammation and what that adds to me. I appreciate the time. I'm going to let you go. Yo, I'm so happy that you stayed in New York. I'm so happy that you're with the Giants. I can't wait for the season to start. It's going to be dope. It's going to be exciting. Stay healthy. Keep eating and not eating and do whatever you're doing in the offseason. And I just can't wait for the season to start. And you know, my fantasy football team, I'm picking you off the top. I'm picking you off the top because I expect big things.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks for the time, man. Always a pleasure coming on with you.
All right, Brandon, I'll talk to you soon, my man. Thank you.
All right, Will.
All right. Yo, the people have spoken. We are a 5-star podcast. We've even got soft-ass t-shirts to prove it. Anytime you hear something on the I Am Rappaport podcast that is 5-star worthy, go to iTunes and give us 5-star reviews. You could do it as many times as you want. Leave us a review. We see everything. Ask a question. ILO us. Whatever you want. Hit up iTunes. Give us a review. The good, the bad, the indifferent. Whatever you want. We want to take over iTunes. They still don't show us the love we deserve. Yo, all soft ass I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast t-shirts are available at districtlines.com/IAmRappaport. We got the 5-star stereo podcast tee, the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast zip up and pullover hoodies, the full Iverson t-shirt, the Stickman t-shirt collection, the I Don't Fact Check, the hard body karate t-shirt for men and women. Go to districtlines.com/IAmRappaport. See, I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. And my man B. Marshall, thank you for coming on the show. Yo, we're going to be at South by Southwest all week, March 15th, 16th, and 17th. NBA on TuneIn, me and Kenyon Martin, me and Karan Butler, B. Marsh, thank you so much for joining me again on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I'm such a fan of yours. What can I say, man? This is what we do here at the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. We sprinkle that good dingo dust on you real nice.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tale. Toyota. Let's go places.